Hare ha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So basically then, we see that devotional service itself is its own, power. Right? We're so conditioned by the material existence that there's always the concept that, you know, I'm the one that's doing things. So therefore, if I don't make the endeavor, it won't happen. But what's missed is that whole process of us making an endeavor, that power is coming from somewhere else, and the transformation caused by that effort is also coming from somewhere else. Right? Does that make sense? We're not doing it ourselves. You know? You're sitting there in the pot and going, to make it boil, yeah, more. Like that. No. You're not doing anything. It boils on its own. You just have to make sure it doesn't stick. You understand? And even that, you just move the spoon around. Why does it not stick when you move the spoon around?
Movement.
Huh?
Movement.
Movement, but the point is why does that create it? You know what I'm saying? It's Krishna's arrangement, not our arrangement. You know, because it was up to us. It's that we're hungry, and then there's food. Hey, you know, that's how it would work. And then we're finished eating, our hands are clean, and it's gone, and the garbage is thrown out, and hari bal. Right? That's how we would want it. But the reality is no, there's an arrangement. Krishna's made an arrangement. So bhakti, that power, in other words, Krishna's doing everything. Just we have this idea that I'm doing it. So therefore, then we think that I'm doing bhakti also. Right? Like that. But the point is no. It's by Krishna's mercy. Like we see that the whole point of how bhakti starts is that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then we get their association. And by that association, we develop faith. Then from there, that faith, when we want to, that continued association, we want to take up the process. We continue in that process. It matures into prema. Right? That's how it's working. And so, since that's what it is, and bhakti is the original activity of the soul, and this is a reflection of that. You understand? So that means bhakti contains everything, because the spiritual world is complete. The material world appears to be complete, but it's not. It's the Lord's potency that in it that even creates that sense of completeness, whether it's not. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it's going on. You know, just like we're sitting there and it looks complete. You know, you're watching a video of, you know, food, right? And it looks good and it's all that and it's disappearing from the plate and all that. It's all happening. But are you becoming satisfied? No. But you're thinking in my mind, when that plate, you know, that I'm watching the video, when that plate's empty, then I'll be happy. That's what we're doing. Sounds absurd, but that's our life. You know what I'm saying? So now the whole point is therefore bhakti is real. When you're performing bhakti, it provides everything, right? Because there's activity, right? There's intellectual engagement, right? There's emotions, right? Yes. All these different things are there. Yes. So therefore, in the physical activities of bhakti, then some facility is created, right? From the intelligence, then, you know, things work out nicely. From the emotions, then there's experiences, right? Does that make sense? Yes. So that's produced by bhakti itself.
Yes.
It's not produced because I did a physical activity. Bhakti produces it. Because we're not producing any physical activity. We don't do it. We're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. We just sit there. Right?
And identify.
Yeah, and identify. You know, hey, Hari Bal Prabhu, excuse me, I'm identifying. You know, so the thing is it's... We're not. The whole process is being carried out by Krishna's mercy anyway. Then the actual point is that mercy, is it producing illusory results or is it producing real results? That's according to our choice. We see it in connection to Krishna, it's real results. We don't see it in connection with Krishna, it's illusory results. It's illusory because we're not the body. Right? So therefore, anything generated connected with the body, it's illusion is it's not us, that it's us. It's there. The house actually exists, but that you say it's my house, that's, you know, what do you mean it's your house? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? At any time, someone can come, you know, government can take it away, a war can start, it can disappear, you know, an earthquake can happen, just somehow or another on your plot of land and your house disappears. You're walking up to your gate and suddenly there's a shaking of the ground and the earth opens up and your house disappears. Wow.
Standing there with the key.
Wow, that was close. Yeah, you know, so, you know, even better is you open the key and your neighbor's house goes and disappears. Wow, that's cool. You know, so the whole point is it's an illusion that we think it's ours. Bhakti produces everything. So that faith that bhakti is producing is very important. Because otherwise we think, I'm doing it. Right? So then, if it's not happening, then it's, I did the work. Why it's not happening? Whose philosophy is that? That's karma mimamsa. Is I did the work, I deserve it, I have the right for the result. Not the question that there's such a thing as mercy. It's when you're dealing with relationships, it's kindness.
Yes.
Right? If it's a business transaction, then you can say, I did the work, here's the thing. Right? That makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why Prabhupada says we shouldn't be doing business with God. Right? So bhakti is independent. So this is a very confidential aspect of knowledge, right? Prabhupada points out here. Prabhupada sums up this confidential knowledge in his purport to 1531. By devotional service, or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working, right? The internal, the external, the marginal, mm-hmm. like that. What they're actually, in other words, where our work is desiring. That was a tough day. Desiring, you know, wow, I really desire. Put my heart into, you know, like that, yeah. One part of energy is manifesting the material world. The other, superior part of his energy is manifesting the spiritual world. And the via medium energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above mentioned energies. Right? Because it's a via medium. You can work with, between the two. Right? Yes.
I'm not sure I completely understand. The via medium energy is manifesting the living entities.
Well, because we're from Tathasta Shakti.
Yeah.
We are this. So, we are in that.
Yeah.
But the energy itself is what's making the arrangement. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, if we say the Radharani expands the Dham, okay? It's not a... we can relate to this.
Yes.
Okay. But does Radharani remain?
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. And she's still performing her. So that means the marginal potency is still a potency that remains.
Yeah.
And it's still doing something. It's not like the Mayavad concept that the marginal potency has now been expanded as a living entity. So all these living entities, now it's, you know, all over the universe. So it's all these parts and parcels. So unless you put it back together, it can't function. No. The energy still remains. You know what I'm saying? Yes. We're just expanded from there. Right? So then, it is what is the via media between the two worlds. Right? Because the jiva is technically material or spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? So it's of the spiritual world, but it's not, by consciousness, not working there. So what is holding you, the spirit soul, and the body together? You understand? Because they're two opposing energies. You have matter and antimatter, right? So according to modern science, it should create a bit of an explosion, right? Right? It always has to be better than a nuclear, right? You know,
that's the benchmark.
It's not going to make copy, right?
You know,
no one's going to watch. It's just little, you know, like that. It's got to be big, you know. Okay?
Yes.
So the whole point is how is that held together? That's the marginal potency. Maya doesn't do it. She's just dead matter. The internal potency is not doing it because they're dealing in the spiritual world. So who does that? That's the marginal. That's the medium. So the marginal potency is the medium between the two. So from that, you can see both, because that's the meaning of marginal, is you can see both the material and spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So the jiva is there. He can see the soul, see the spiritual. Right? See Brahman, see how the Lord is, you know, in everything. See Paramatma, how he's controlling everything. Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you can see all the matter around you with all your senses. That's marginal potency.
Yeah. Sounds a little bit impersonal, that they're manifested from the energy, the living entities.
Well, where do you want to come from? Cracker Jack Fox would be better or something?
Okay with that. No.
You know, one of those, you know, in Dubai, you know, those free, you get a free car, so, you know, you get a free...
Car in Dubai?
Huh?
You get a free car in Dubai?
Yeah, if you win the lottery.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Well...
No, everybody goes through, gets a free car.
Yeah, everybody. I was thinking, I might
you didn't
go
get
through.
A car?
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
Well,
why is that impersonal?
The energy. It seems like Brahman or something. I mean, there's some...
But the Lord and his potencies, there's all these aspects.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, the Lord as Brahman, there's energy. The Lord as Paramatma, there's energy. The Lord as Bhagavan, there's energy. You know. So when we're talking generic, we're always talking Brahman.
Yeah.
But there's the personal aspect.
Yeah.
Understand? Because the Swarup Shakti is arranging it. So the Swarup Shakti is a person. The point is how do you relate to that person? Are you assisting that person in service to Krishna? Are you trying to enjoy that person separate from Krishna? So depending upon, they'll appear as internal potency or external. Right? You don't have to manifest as marginal potency. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the person, but you don't have to manifest that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you're at the home, you're relaxed, or you're at work. You know, is there a need of an in-between? I mean, there is sitting in your car and this and that. You know, how much of is that going to excite people? Yeah, he's sitting in his car, sitting in traffic. He's doing 10 kilometers an hour. Wow. This is getting exciting. Oh, there's a break. That car moved. Oh, now he's doing 11 and a half kilometers an hour. He moved up one extra car. Oh, now they all stopped. Now he's doing 0 kilometers an hour. Is that what you want to hear about?
No.
No. You know, how much time can they spend there? They can make shows that go for 10, 12, 20 years on what happens in the home. Right? There's one show, I don't know how long it went. It was only the living room. That's it. And it went for, I don't know, 15 days. What's that? I Love Lucy. It's the longest running serial of anything that's ever happened. It was all on a couch. That was it. It all happened on a couch. The whole thing. Right? Or you can be down at the workplace, right, and do that all day. But in between, how much time do they spend in between? No. So therefore, that's the point. The marginal isn't where you focus the personal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sense? It's just, you know, it's the nature of the way it works.
Okay.
So we're trying to, but because of this, we're so used to it. Because we'll say, oh, that's impersonal, you know. And so, you know, but what about your opinion? Well, everybody, you know, you understand? We just work in impersonal. That's our field.
That's the
you know,
field
impersonal
of
is that's a, you know, yeah, that's us. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the via medium energy, you know, say, I like potatoes. So what particular potato? Well, I like Sam here, you know, like that. Well, I've always liked, you know, George over here. You know, he's a much more cool potato, like that.
Nice to name your potatoes.
Yeah. You know, so I'm saying everything we work in is impersonal. And the via medium energy is manifesting living entities who are serving either of the above-mentioned energies. The living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence, and the happiness which is presented to them is illusory. But those in this spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge and perpetual bliss, right, which is the nature of the soul. The soul is Satchitananda. The environment is Satchitananda. All the energies are Satchitananda. The Lord is Satchitananda. So it's a perfect environment. While over here, there's no sat, no chit, and no ananda.
That's perfect.
Yes. Yes. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge, right? Rotting in the kingdom. That means somebody's doing okay. Somebody is not the jivas, you know. Shiva and Parvati, they're doing fine sitting under their tree, right? But this can be understood only by the pure devotees. Right? So this is the most confidential part of knowledge, that this is what Krishna wants as a person, right? That's what made the dynamic difference between Ruchi and Asakti, is that realization of Krishna as a person, right? And that full absorption of him as a person means we have knowledge of him as a person. We know he's a person. But that realization of him as a person, that's what's dynamic. Mm-hmm. Right? So that we deal as a person. Right? But this can be understood only by the pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. You can't make up your own system, because it's by mercy. So you can't make up your own system and expect to get the mercy. According to Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies, without effort, by him. And these are described under three principal headings, as above mentioned. Right? So that whole thing, the confidential part is him as a person. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, the knowledge of him as Brahman and Paramatma. This is fairly standard. Everybody can basically get a handle on this, right? They can feel that, yes, I can understand he's the controller, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, he's the judge, you know, all these different kinds of things. And, you know, he has a form. Okay, he's a person. But the actual personal understanding of personal relationship, that's something actually new to us. Right? It means you start to get close to it when you work with Dharma. Because then it's not about you. It's why do I have these duties? Because I, being a person, am a person in a greater group of persons. Right? And so therefore, as a person, I have a part in all this. And I am part of this. Therefore, others have duties that relate to me. I have duties that relate to them. So the whole point is we try to make it that Varnashram is impersonal. It's actually personal. It's due to ignorance that we think it's impersonal. That's where personal starts. And we see is that the modern culture has great difficulty relating to it. Why? Because they're impersonalists. You know, so, you know, in other words, it means if you can't get at the grapes, what's the nature of the grapes?
Sour.
They're sour. They're bad. So I can't understand Varnashram because I can't relate to personal. Therefore, Varnashram's bad. You know what I'm saying? It restricts me as a person. Yes, it restricts me as a person, and that grieves facility for someone else as a person. But I'm always looking at it from my perspective. It's about me. I'm the center rock. Right?
Interference.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, okay, I don't mind that there's other rocks in the same spot where, you know, my rock has fallen in the pond, but they have to follow exactly in my spot. And I'm still the king rock. You know, still the rings going out are still my rings. You know what I'm saying? So even though we talk personal, very rare is it actually personal. Yes. Because on the material platform, where's personal? You're dealing with dead matter. Yes. Hey, Rock, how's it going today? Yeah, you know, it's been tough. Getting cold now, you know, you must be feeling it there, you know? Yeah?
Yeah, well, not a lot of reciprocation.
No. Yeah, a little quiet today.
Again.
So then, the whole point is that we are not really accustomed to real personal. You know, we kind of have an idea of it and get a little bit here and there, but that consistent functioning in that personal mode, it's not something we're used to. That's why the Vedic culture is so different. Outside the Vedic culture, then basically everybody can relate to everybody. You know, Europeans throwing a little, you know, Middle Eastern, you know, something, things around the house, a little Far Eastern around the house, you know, Indian, forget it. You know what I'm saying? So, artifacts, okay, but culture, no. They can get up to Pakistan, right? They can relate to, you know, all these other places, China, Tibet, you know, it's right there. Thailand, you know, nobody's ever heard of Burma, but, you know, like that. Malaysia, like that. India? No. Why is that? Because all the other cultures are impersonal. The Vedic is personal. That's why it can't be related to. And that's why all the others can relate to each other. Yes.
So we think personal means me as a person.
Yes, me as a person. I'm a person. Yes. You know, the way you're dealing was so impersonal. The prophet said the point, no, because they were creating problem for you. It's because they're a person. It's personal. That's why it's going on. You know, oh, that was very personal comment, man. Personal to who? Me, not to you. You understand? It's all about me. I'm the person. And everybody else is my energies. That, you know, do as I want. You know, as I desire, such as sankalpa, it all happens, you know, but it's not happening. No one understands. No one's cooperating, you know. Stop. No one cares. Yeah, that's the good one. Does that make sense? So, this is the confidential knowledge that God's a person and we can have a personal relationship that actually is real and is eternal. This is the confidential knowledge. This is what is not understood. Because once you get into here, then everybody starts freaking out. Because then what about my position, my security? Because it's always been about me and I've always worked for me. Therefore, I felt secure. Right? So now, if I'm going to accept this other person, this kind of relationship, this is something new, right? Or it's so old that it's, you know, you get worried about it. Right? Having glorified the absolute nature of bhakti in verses 23 to 31, in the next section, Narada Muni recommends a practical method for performing devotional service, verses 32 to 40. Narada advises Vyasa to reveal the principle of hearing about the Lord and working for him. Because if he's a person, then, now what will you do? In this last section, Narada glorifies working in Krishna's service while remembering his glories. After glorifying transcendental sound, Narada then requests Vyas to directly glorify the Lord's activities for the benefit of suffering humanity. Narada continues, I understood that by knowing that everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by the energy of Sri Krishna, it is possible to return to him and personally meet him. One need not struggle vainly to forcibly change his nature in order to be rid of troubles and miseries. One need only engage his natural activities in the service of the Lord. One need not struggle vainly to forcibly change his nature. So he uses the word vainly because we think, no, I have to do it. No, you simply have to engage whatever your nature is in Krishna's service. If that's it, then what's the point? If we're not it, what's the problem? Whatever it is, I can do it. But the problem comes up because of vanity. No, nobody can be the Shudra, right? You go out into a community of devotees, you know, call them all together, say, raise your hands if you work for somebody and get paid a regular salary, right? Basically, all the hands would go up. And then the ones that don't go up, then one might say, ah, see, here's an independent person who's not acting in capacity of a Shudra. And then you ask them, how do you get your money? And then they'll say, from welfare, from the dole. You understand? So basically in a whole crowd, you may have one or two or three that do something. I've heard it in a lacha, there's five people that do business. You know, really run businesses. There may be more. I think, no, it's actually, yeah. But, you know, I only heard about them because they were ones that hired people. The other ones, maybe it's hardly anything. So the discussion came up, do you hire devotees or not? If you want to get your business to work,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So the whole point is, you know, 1,500 people, five, you know, established, good, solid businessmen. There may be a few others, because I know there are others. So it's beyond that. But these are big enough to hire people as a regular thing. You know? So then, so that means, what is everybody else doing? Right? There's a few that are, you know, full-time engaged in the temple, like that. So what is everybody else doing? You understand? But you can't bring that up. Why not? Because of vanity. That's the bottom line. Only vanity. Because they say, we're not this body. So if you're not this body, is it a problem saying, hey, you know, this guy's, you know, 6 foot, you know, 2 inches. Oh, he's not his body. Why do you bring that up? That's so insulting. It's so... You know, he's got brown hair. Oh, no! You know, do you understand? But if we say he's a shudra, that's all it is that's the kind of work that body does.
Yes.
Right? But then that's the problem. So it's vanity. So he's saying you don't have to vainly, forcibly change your nature. No, whatever it is, you just engage it because that's what you have. Right?
All right.
Yes.
The reason we can attain perfection in our activity is because Krishna is transcendental and immanent, right? That's the six adhikaras of Bhagavad Gita. When we studied last year, you mentioned the six adhikaras of Sambandha that was here 2 years ago. That because Krishna, the six adhikaras of Sambandha is because Krishna is immanent and transcendental, that's why we can attain perfection in our own position. I mean, Krishna's everywhere and he's connected.
Yes, means everything. It means everything works anyway connected to Krishna, so it's all Krishna anyway. So we have this idea that only Brahminical is connected to Krishna. But the point is Brahminical means understanding Brahman. So anybody who understands Brahman is Brahminical, right? By mentality. But work, you have to see what the body does. So his point is you don't have to struggle hard with, yes, I am this, or I am the, you know, one who provides for my family, or I'm the one who's the good person, or I'm the, like this. We don't have to vainly make those endeavors to make everything work. We just take whatever it is, engage it in the Lord's service. We automatically get the results. Does that make sense? If you go to work because I'm the maintainer of my family, right? Or you go to work because I have a family to engage in Krishna's service that requires money. I have a capacity to work as a shudra and have a job. So I go there to do that so I have the money to serve Krishna. Is there going to be a difference in how much they pay you? Right? At the end of the week, you know, you go to the desk and all that and they hand you the check and you go, hey, it's $20 less. It says, yes, because you were thinking this is connected to Krishna. So
that would be a demonic place.
Yeah, but the point is, does it matter? The work doesn't change, but we take it that, no, if I'm Krishna conscious, I don't do any of that. Right? I'm Krishna conscious, so I don't have to breathe. You know? That's the whole... This is the mechanics of this whole point is, no, everything's personal. The reason that we're interested in personal interactions, personal facilities, all these is because we are people. But the facilities and how we identify ourselves here is not real. In the spiritual world, that's real. You know what I'm saying? The house there is real. In fact, you could talk to it if you want. Yes.
So it seems that we are afraid to be a spirit entity.
Yes, because just for so long we've done it this way. It hasn't worked out, that's why we've become devotees. But the point is we're still a little afraid. So it's a matter of that having that, how do you say? That faith, you know. That's why it has to come in, that faith, that element of security. That's what Bhurijan pointed out, is that the after this story, then when we actually get into stories establishing how Bhagavatam was spoken, he said that the first point is Poshana, the Lord protects. Because if I'm not going to, you know, vainly struggle to forcibly change my nature and all that, then if I'm just going to leave it as it is, then who's going to take care? So therefore the Lord's going to take care. So it opens with that. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that working for the Lord in full consciousness of Him is the most practical method for self-realization. Sri Narad Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. The entire material existence is full of miseries. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries. But men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. Right? So, struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries. So you could take it two ways. That one is means without miseries, outside the miseries, or the miseries that we produce by our actions, we try to make an existence out of those.
Yes.
Right? You know, yeah. Yeah. It's very far out how Prabhupada puts these things. So no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should simply employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. Also very nice. Fragmental accumulation. You know, I mean, it's even now, as it says, one of their philosophies, fractals.
Oh, yeah.
Which is made up of, you know. Yeah. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy and stateship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight, but when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause, for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturalist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Right? So you see these others is that you're talking about the qualities that they're working with. Now with this next, you're talking about the results. Of course, you can work with that, but much of the time it's very hard to do that. It's much less because the element of dharma is very... You're generally using dharma to create it. Once that you're creating it, that's dharma, and that having gotten it, you spend and give it in charity, that's dharma. But you're going to make it by artha and niti. Like that. The others are also going to be using, but the focus is just so much of a change. That's why you see in Gita... The first two, it's about their qualities. The last two, it's about their service. Mm. It doesn't mention qualities. Mm. Right? Like that. Yes?
So this is for those who cannot engage full-time in devotional service?
No. Prabhupada's talking about full-time engagement here. Because Daivavarna Ashram, you're fully engaged because you understand everything in connection to the Lord. Right? So if everything's in connection with the Lord, then whatever your situation, you do it, and it works out very nicely. Right? You know, somebody's the temple president, somebody's the bhajari, somebody's sampakatan later, it's not a problem. It's not, oh, we're not this body, let anybody do anything. You know, my son here would like to be sampakatan leader and that, but he's only 5 years old. Oh, but he really wants to do it, you know? I mean, why you're creating obstacles, you know?
Get off the mental platform.
Yeah, get off the mental platform, Prabhu.
Just surrender.
Yeah, you know, so... Okay. So the point is that if we're making distinction, if we're making the distinction that we're not this body, so therefore we make no distinction that you can do anything, that means you have to work within the general Varnashram system. Then there's a difference between that you're dealing with dharma and then your sadhana is sad dharma. That's the difference. Right? Means somewhat pious person, everything's just dharma. He's only doing it because that's what he's supposed to, and he'll get the benefits. Mixed devotional service means your sadhana is sad-dharma, everything else, you know, according to your realization, may or may not be sad-dharma, but, you know, it may be just dharma, right? You know, on a good day. Right? And then, a daiva-varnashram means everything is sad-dharma. So the whole point is the same system can be, like Yudhishthira, he's only engaged in Krishna service. But he's an emperor, so that's the example. Otherwise, you can say, yes, you can do this, but not in any major service. So, you know, anybody on the planet has a service bigger than emperor. Right? No. So, therefore, it works out. Then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, or the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. Right? So then it works out because the focus is on money. So yes, money is Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan. Engage everything in the Lord's service. That way then everything goes on very nicely. Right? So you're starting with the result, because that's always the main focus. That's the inspiration for anything. Right? Desires are about results. Endeavors are for results. And you know, experience is about results. So if you start there, the results, the money, it's about Krishna. It works. And then from there, it'll naturally go back into everything else. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has a specific attraction. So if one can just sit down and hear and chant, or if one can, whatever is there in your day, engage it all in the Lord's service, that's the best. Right? Because even if you sit down and hear a chant, you have to go eat, you got to wash your bowl, you got to have a place to put your bowl, you know, you got all these things also, just some more minor element. But if you can't, then those things that attract you, engage them in the Lord's service. Right? So what Prabhupada is talking about above, daiva-varnashram, that's sannyas. Yes. Then he's saying here, so that's the recommendation. If you can do that, then renunciation is fine.
Yes.
It's also dynamic. Right? Right, specific attraction means that's the element of mixed devotional service. Right? That is the way of peace and prosperity. Right, so there's no anxiety for the material world, and prosperity comes. Right, it's peace and prosperity, not prosperity and peace. It's not because I'm prosperous, then I'll be peaceful. No, it's because you're peaceful, you'll be prosperous. And that is the remedial measure for all the miseries of material existence. Everything. One can say is no, but there's still obstacles and difficulties come up, but they don't bother you. Right? Bilva Mangal wasn't bothered. Right? When he'd go visit Chintamani, nothing bothered him. But it's just something you do. You know, it's just like you come out of the house, go to the car, and then you notice there's nothing in your pocket. So you just turn around, go back, get your keys, and walk out. It's not a problem. But if there's material attachment, walk back in the house, and whole things like that, you know. Or you did lock the front door, so you have to go around the back door. You know, it's just, but you just do. It's just the way the world is. Right? So there is no, because you're peaceful, therefore, there's only profit. But if you're not peaceful, then basically you'll only notice the problems. But how can karma, the cause of samsara, destroy samsara? Footnote 55. Arjuna asks a similar question in Bhagavad Gita 3.1. O Janardana, Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruit of work, right? Because his opening is, you know, if I do this battle, then we're not going to get a good result, so therefore I don't want to do. So fruit of work. So Krishna says, you're a fool. You're not considering the spiritual. Right? So now he's given him that knowledge of the spiritual. And then he goes, great, so I'll go to the forest. He says, no, you're going to fight. He's like, wait a minute. Hey, we just went through this, didn't we? You know? Like that, yeah. The Lord dictates, dedicates a major portion of his instructions to clear this doubt. For example, in 4:18, he says, one who sees in action is intelligent amongst men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Right? Yes. This is the point, is that we're seeing, how you say, action in action.
Yes.
Right? And inaction in inaction. But it's actually that, what we're looking for, and that's how you suffer. But when there's inaction in action, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And action in, and that's where you actually get somewhere.
Yes.
Right? So Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. So therefore, there's inaction in action. Mm. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work.
Yes.
Right? But it mentions that, he does not suffer any of the effects of work. Yeah, I like that, but I'm still suffering. Yeah, because of the word before that, does not enjoy or suffer. Oh, he's still enjoying, so there, because if you enjoy, you suffer. You don't enjoy, you don't suffer.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, but that's impersonal. No, it's not a matter of enjoying, it's just it's a nice situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're sitting back and going, wow, hey, this is great, this is fabulous. It's not like that. It's a nice situation, so it runs more smoothly. Right? And when it doesn't run so smoothly, then you just make it work. So they're both balanced. That's why peace. Then there's prosperity.
Yes.
Because otherwise, let us say even you're doing the work, there's no peace, you're doing the work, you have facility. Do you consider yourself prosperous?
No.
I remember seeing two persons, there was this whole fight between them over money. And the one that had more money was fighting with the one that had less money, that they wanted more money, saying, you have so much. But if you look at the books, the one who was demanding more was the actual one that had more money. So because there's no peace, there's no prosperity. So even prosperity is the state of mind, not the facility you have. Yes.
When we speak about enjoyment, the difference is very fine.
Yes, no, it's all very fine.
I mean, it's really fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're talking about really, really fine.
Very, very, very fine.
For example,
even more fine than that.
If you stop for a moment and you just acknowledge, your situation is good, it means you're enjoying.
No. That just means it's good. It means, how are you defining good? That you have
comfortable, and you are able to do whatever you're supposed to do.
So then, that's just the situation. Enjoyment is trying to gain something out of that for yourself. So in other words, it's a comfortable situation, and you're using that comfortable situation for Krishna, right? Because everyone has a conditioned nature; they're comfortable in a particular place. Like, let's just say. Let us take the Bahamas, okay? So most people will say Bahamas are supposed to be a nice place, right? I mean, you hear about it, probably you go there, it's probably terrible, right? Yeah. But whatever it is, it's supposed to be a nice place, right? Now, let's say we had a nice villa in the Bahamas, right? A nice pool in the backyard, everything, like that, golf course, everything, okay? Great. Now, let's bring a bunch of polar bears and a bunch of penguins there. Is it a nice place? No, for them, they like being up there, it's just snow. If it's not white, it's not all right. Yeah. when you can see tundra, there's a problem, right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is there. Take the person from the Bahamas, drop him on the North Pole. Is he happy? Give him a nice, first class, ice house, Come on, people pay big money to go to those ice hotels, but, Is he happy? No. So the point is, It's comfortable means what according to your conditioning works. Like that. But it has to be working. So that's why you have to be honest about it. Because everybody has a different thing. So to use your standard on somebody else, that's actually cheating. Because we'll go, they have more than me, so they're enjoying. No, that's according to your standard. According to their standard, it's... what I'm saying? It's like... We have a set of stairs, in our house, right? That was a joke, right? So, you know, like that. So, you know, people have stairs in their house. How many people can go up and down the stairs in most people's house?
One.
You can go two, but what does one person have to do?
Go sideways.
Do sideways. Now, what if you're carrying stuff? Okay? Now, so for some people, and what's generally on the stairs?
Carpet.
Yeah? Okay. Now, for most people, that's comfortable. They're cool with that. Right? Now, some people, they're not. There has to be stairs wide enough that they can move, you know, with whoever they're with, and, you know, and come down properly. And if need be, a servant has to go by. There's space. And what should the stairs be made of?
Marble.
Right? Why? Because it's clean. The other one, it's comfortable. Right? Why do you have carpet? It's comfortable. Why is it marble? It's cold. It's not comfortable. It's clean. So the one likes the clean, open, spacious environment, and the other likes a more, you know, smaller, comfortable, all kinds of cozy things environment. Understand? So it's not that, oh, that's so expensive. No, that's just normal for them. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. Is everybody has a nature, but the thing is they have to be able to work according to it. So if you accept that, then the whole thing, it has to be done according to that. You have that facility, it has to be clean. You can't keep it clean, you shouldn't have the facility. Does that make sense? You know, so it all bounces up. If you look at there, therefore peace is required. And peace means it's only going to happen if it's connected to the Lord. Right? Is that okay? Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruit of activities out of fear, right, because he thinks of the reaction, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna. So when we say, for us here, it means, let's say, you're going to cook for Krishna. Right? So are we going to say that's devotional service? He's doing devotional service. He's cooking for Krishna.
Yes.
So what's required?
Devotion.
Devotion, okay. But now to express or manifest that cooking.
Kitchen.
A kitchen. What else? So just that you just have a room.
Vegetables.
Okay, how did you get those vegetables?
Market.
How were you able to go to the market?
Scooter.
Okay. How did you have that, you know, what does the scooter require?
Money.
Okay, you know, and then when you get there to get the petrol and when you want to buy your vegetables, what is required? How did you get the money?
Tolerance.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the Indian market. For you, we make no profit. No, but he's selling it for half the price. Okay, so and where'd the money come from? And then how do you get, you understand? So all that's included.
Yes.
So that's why Prabhupada says, you know, therefore he engaged himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And we'll go, okay, he chants japa and here's Bhagavatam. What about the rest of the day? Because we don't see it in connection with Krishna. But what Prabhupada's pointing out is all that's just done in connection with Krishna. That's devotional service.
Yes.
Right? And that there's a systematic form, that's called Daiva Varnasha. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about here. But we try to make them, no, but that's, we're the ones that split things.
Yes.
Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service, right? So he's not trying to enjoy it separately, it's always connected to Krishna, so therefore he always enjoys transcendentally. So when we look at the thing, he's not trying to enjoy, or he neither enjoys or suffers the results of his work. We think, oh, then there was no happiness in Krishna consciousness. Yes, there's transcendental happiness, there's no material happiness, right? So just as there is only spiritual happiness, that means there's no material unhappiness, and there's no material happiness. But we think, but if you have facility, you'll be material happy. No, that means that's comfortable to engage in the Lord's service. That's why Krishna says he's not elated in happiness, or what is it? Laments in distress. It means happiness and distress come, but it doesn't create elation or lamentation. It just means, you know, happiness just means it's a nicer facility. Unhappiness just means it's less. That's all. Yes.
Does that mean that our happiness has shifted from what I gain to Krishna's pleasure?
Yes. Yeah. That's it. You know, it's just like, let's say if there's a closer relationship, if you see them happy, you become happy. Like you give a gift to a friend and their happiness, that makes you happy. Right? So that's the position. So when it's all about Krishna, and that means what's important, and then that means what's important to Krishna. Okay, let's say, you know, that person who's, you know, important to you and that, but then you see, you know, like say their phone on the floor. You know, then what? You pick it up. Right? So it goes, because we say, oh, it's only Krishna, not the divine. No, but you know, what about the divine? It's all part of the same thing. So that's why it's all about the devotees. But the devotees, it's all about Krishna. Right? So that's why it goes together. Is that okay? Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. So you're immune. So does that mean that there's not reactions around? Like if you're immune to a disease, does that mean the disease is not around? It just means it doesn't bother you. Right. So in other words, it's not that when you become Krishna consciousness, suddenly the whole world becomes wonderful and the butterflies are there, the sun's out and everything like that. It's Seattle. What do you want? You know? You understand? It's just, it's not going to happen. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So the point is, it doesn't bother you. Nothing bothers you. So if it's nice, great. If it's not nice, it doesn't matter. So he's unaffected. He's immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work.
Yeah. What stage in our 9 stages would it be?
What stages would it? Means in its complete absolute. Then you're talking about, of course, prema, right? But you could say that it would be stably like this at nishta, right? But it becomes dynamic at ruchi. You're really going to appreciate it at Ruchi. At Asakti, you're just not really going to even notice what's around, that, you know, that around you, except it's service to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You're going to start, of course, in Bhajana Kriya, then you're going to experience some of this. Even from Shraddha, you're going to experience. You're always going to experience. It's just a matter of, then sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Right, as the faith increases, then it's always greater and greater. So it goes along with the faith, like that. As long as the more you're secure in Krishna consciousness, the less than you're bothered, like that. Does that make sense? But it's the anartas, it's the desires that are creating the problem. So as the anartas go, or in the areas where the anartas go, that's what's not going to bother you. So you find in some areas of your devotional service, you're not bothered, but in other areas you are. It just means there's still anartas in those areas. You know, and the point is it's just by time that you sincerely try to please Krishna, then Krishna, by his mercy, they go away. Right? And Krishna mentions, as a bee, he takes all these things out of the heart. But he's not going to take something out that you are attached to. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, if you're sitting there on the couch and there's this big mess there on the coffee table and I come start taking things away, you know, empty boxes and empty cans and, you know, stuff like that, you're not bothered, are you? Now, but if I get to, you know, one plate and there's a half-eaten piece of pizza there, and then I go to pick that up, wait, I'm not finished yet, okay, then it's okay, we leave it, we don't touch it, you know, you've got other things, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is that it's about, if you're attached to it, Krishna leaves it. But everything else goes. But if you have the desire that it goes away, even though you're attached to it, then Krishna's mercy, he'll remove it. You know? And as long as you're not holding on to it as you're removing it, then the process will go more smoothly. But if you're holding on, then... You know, yeah. No, he has Maya to help from behind, right? It's supposed to come this way, and you're pulling it that way. Maya will kick from this way, so the whole thing will move this way. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it works. It works. Okay. So how can some karma, the cause of samsara, destroy samsara, right? Because you can't wash your hands of blood with blood. That's the logic. So therefore, how can karma, which is the cause of samsara, destroy samsara? Right? That's the doubt.
Yes.
Srila Narad Muni answers in verses 33 to 34 by citing an example. When a thing is applied therapeutically, it cures disease caused by the very same thing, as when disorder of the bowels caused by milk is cured by curd. In the same way, our activities born of the three modes of nature, which ordinarily contribute to karmic bondage, cut down the tree of karma when dedicated to the service of the Lord. Because now the activity's there, but there's no reaction. So whatever is that particular binding element of that particular mode in that situation, that's cut. Right? So you just keep that up and eventually the tree is cut. And the best part about this tree, when you cut the root, you don't have to worry about it falling over on you because it's upside down. So if you have an upside down tree and you're cutting at the root, where does it go?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't fall on you.
That's a lot.
Yeah. In his purports to 1:5:33-34, Srila Prabhupada further emphasizes the same point. As an expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders, right? So mixed with some other. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized, just as by fire iron is made red hot. And thereby the action of fire begins. Similarly, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. That is the secret of spiritual success. We should not try to lord it over the material nature, nor should we reject material things. The best way to make the best use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation with the Supreme Spiritual Being. It's always a bad bargain, right? You know, it could be a better bad bargain, but it's always going to be a bad bargain.
A lot of bees. A lot of bees.
Yes. Everything is an emanation from the Supreme Spirit, and by his inconceivable power, he can convert spirit into matter and matter into spirit, because it's his energy. Therefore, a material thing, so-called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. Because material is still Brahman. It's just inferior Brahman. What is the main point we make in the difference between internal and external potency?
Happiness. Happiness.
Okay.
Superior, inferior.
Superior, inferior. But what is the quality?
Conscious.
But actually the external potency is eternal.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Right? It doesn't mean it's not spiritual energy. It's just an unconscious spiritual energy. Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, for him, for it to work either way, it's already spiritual. It's just now you've recognized its spiritual nature, and so now you get the spiritual benefit. Right?
Yeah,
so that's the whole thing. Means the blender is already electricity. It's just you haven't plugged it in. Means how does it work? It works by electricity. That means it's nature's electricity. So you plug it in, then you connect it, you get the benefit. And say, but it already has that nature whether you plug it in or not.
So yes. Can we say that we go from dealing with the details of material energy to the principle of material energy?
Yes, you could say. But it's not that the details aren't able to be engaged.
No.
It's just that the principle of the material nature is understood that it's God's energy and it's working by it's his potency. It's not ours, because we're thinking it's mine.
Yes.
Right? Yes. That's the difference. So therefore, it becomes transformed. Because it was by our consciousness that therefore it transformed this way. We change the consciousness, it transforms the other way. Okay. Therefore, a material thing, so-called, right, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. The necessary condition for such a change is to employ so-called matter in the service of the Spirit. Right? We call it matter, but it's not actually. But because we see it like that, therefore it's made that way. Okay. The conclusion is that when the result of all fruitive and other work is dovetailed with the service of the Lord, it will cease to generate further karma and will gradually develop into transcendental devotional service, which will not only cut off completely the root of the banyan tree of work, but will also carry the performer to the lotus feet of the Lord. So, when the result of all fruitive work and other work is dovetailed with the service of the Lord, right? So that's where you start. So you start from always from the result, right? Is that something you can relate to?
Yes.
Because the other thing, we're still identifying it as us. You know, I am the one doing this, that, but the work is for Krishna. And then slowly it will work backwards. Right? So it will cease to generate further karma, right? So so the karma will start to go down and it'll start to develop the devotion, right? Mm-hmm. But why is it developing the devotion? Because it itself is devotion. Devotion generates it. So devotion removes the material, you know, fruit of results, mm-hmm. and devotion generates devotion.
Mm-hmm. Right? So yes. We stop getting in the way of it?
Basically. We stop getting in the way by being part of it. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, if you're doing something, you're let's say you're in a drama, then, you know, if you're playing your role, then you're not in the way. But if you're not playing your role, then you're in the way.
You're part of the solution or the problem.
Yes.
So this is Maharaj, is that the transformation of the consciousness taking place?
Yes. Because the work stays the same. Right? If you're engaging your nature properly in the Lord, nature properly, then the work doesn't change. Like that.
So Maharaj, that means change your identity and samskaras, like you mentioned?
Basically, you change identity. And you change your goal. Right? The identity is I'm servant of Krishna and the goal is to please Krishna. You change that, then you change, it's not fruitive anymore. Therefore, then how you the samskars, the perceptions are changed to, you know, that, and the end result, you know, that your decision on what you do is changed. So you'll always engage in devotional service, but the activities may not change. In other words, if your activities are already pious, they don't need to change. If they're impious, then you'll naturally, with time, find more and more appropriate ways of engaging. But what you're looking for is the same. Just like, let us take a thief. What is he looking for in his occupation?
Well,
profit, right? So all it is that the method, the form of his gaining prosperity is not ideal. But his need to gain profit doesn't change. Right? You know, he's whatever it is, he has a family, he has something. So therefore that will remain. But he may change the work that he does. But the principle of working to get facility for engaging in Krishna service, that will remain. That won't change. Narad Muni continues, such work for the Lord is called bhakti yoga, and jnana, the enlightenment of liberation, automatically follows it without separate endeavor. Right? So the engagement is there, such work, and jnana naturally comes. So you just engage in the work of Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, or liberation automatically comes, right? Because you're working for Krishna, so your fruit of results automatically come. You're working for Krishna, the liberation from material bondage automatically comes. So karma and jnana is taken care of. Right?
Such work and jnana, the enlightenment of liberation, automatically follows it without separate endeavor. Footnote 56. This was already pointed out by Srila Sutta Goswami 127. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, One immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. According to Mimamsa, in ascertaining the meaning of scripture, one should pay special attention to the statements which are repeated. So this is being repeated.
Yes.
So it was already said in the second chapter. Now Narad Muni is saying it again. Right? Mm. So that means it's important.
Later on, he makes almost exactly the same statement. I mean, the Sanskrit verse is almost exactly the same thing in the fourth canto.
Okay, yeah. But it's already also been said in the Gita, so, you know, we've been hearing it for a while. In the performance of duties, one must constantly remember the Lord, His holy names, and His qualities. 57. The Lord gave a similar instruction to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, 8:7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mayarpita manobhutir mam evaishyasya shamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carrying out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudev, Sankarshad, Prajumna, and Adiruddha. Okay, 58. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in this verse, 1537, Narad Muni reveals the mantra he has received from his gurus. Okay. Now in two verses, desiring to teach his personal mantra received from the gurus, Narad first creates faith in those mantras. This is according to the statement, the guru should speak the secret to the disciple who has affection for the gurus, Srimad Bhagavatam 118. This mantra has 33 syllables. Its devata is Bhagavan, who consists of four forms. By placing the members out of order, one can understand that this is a listing of the members of Krishna's Chaturvyuha, rather than the one in Vaikuntha, Krishna Balaram, Krishna's son and grandson. And with his son Prajumna and grandson Aniruddha, placed next to Vasudev, Krishna. Okay, because he said, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Or, the order of persons mentioned in this mantra can be taken as a statement of creation, Prajumna, maintenance, Aniruddha, and destruction, Sankarshan. Let us meditate upon offering respects, Namo Dhimahi. This means, let us offer respects in the mind. Though the Lord has no material form, one can become the seer who worships Him in the form of transcendental sound. By this process, I was endowed with transcendental knowledge of the Lord taught in the confidential porches of the Vedas, then with spiritual opulences, and at last with the intimate loving service. Okay. So his position, the transcendental position of the Lord, as it's given in the Vedas, right? Then his opulences, that greatness and all that, how everything is his. And then the more intimate is that exchange, right? So in other words, the intimate element is the exchange, is the Abhideya, right? That's why Vasudev is the actual primary deity. Please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities which you have learnt by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men, and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people, who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries, 35 to 40. This is the instruction Narad Muni gave to Vyasadeva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to 1538, O Darshana, or Darshana, almost looked like an O, right? Close, right? Or Darshan can mean by which something is seen. That means scripture, which denotes bhakti, such as the Pancharatra. Therefore, darshan, chakshus.
Right.
Right? That means scriptures which denote bhakti, such as Pancharatra, which is most wholesome, samyak, because it is satisfying to the soul. One who worships the Lord possessing the complete scriptural conclusion. This does not refer to scriptures devoid of bhakti, which are not wholesome, but deficient. So, interesting here is that he says, such as Pancharatra.
Because Narad Muni, he is expert in Pancharatra, he preaches Pancharatra.
So, most of the time when devotees think of Pancharatra, they think of ritual. Right? So, they're actually thinking from the general pious kind of viewpoint of the Vedas, then the Brahmanas, you know, is ritual. But actually, the real point of the activities given in the Veda is given in the Upanishads. So Pancharatra is a transcendental scripture. It's not a ritual scripture. It's a transcendental scripture that explains about the service of the Lord. How to engage your life always in the Lord's service in a regulated way. Right? Because we're used to being either unregulated or regulated only for material life. Right? So this shows how you regulate your life so that everything is connected with the deity. Right? That's what Pancharatra is. So therefore all the philosophy, everything... All those are actually discussed by there. But because we're getting it here, you know, from Bhagavatam, then there isn't as much need to study the philosophy as given in the Pancharatra. Right? Means that element is given in the 11th canto. Right? But it's already been covered. Right?
You have not sufficiently described the glories of the spotless Lord Krishna, because your mind could never be satisfied with Vedanta. I think that writing the Vedanta Sutra is insufficient. Right? Because just Vedanta on its own is not enough. Because the point is, the conclusion is serving Krishna. You have to take up the service. In other words, having the knowledge of service of Krishna is not enough. You have to actually serve. Right? So that's why the Purana, because it describes people who are serving. Right? This means... Though you wrote the Vedanta Darshan, your mind is not satisfied completely. But I became fully satisfied in mind by writing the Pancharatra, because it's service. Right? Srila Prabhupada explains, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord. Certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age.
So that's where it becomes more prominent. Yes.
We know Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas. What Pancharatra belongs
to? It's part of Puravid. Yeah. It's part of the philosophy.
Can you write the Upanishad?
It's not just the philosophy, it's also practically applying it. So it's actually taking the prayers, taking the activities, the metaphysical and the philosophy, and putting them together in a devotional practice directed at the deity. So it's an agama, so it's the essence of the Vedas. But it's in a practical application. Does that make sense? Well, the Vedanta Sutra will just give the philosophical. So it has all of the aspects, all four aspects of the Veda. Well, the Vedanta will only have one.
Has it been accepted by all schools?
The Vaishnavas all accept Pancharatra. Like that. I mean, there are groups that work on Vaikanas, but it's very rare. You don't really hear them. Because unless you're born into those families, then you don't have the right to use it. Vaikanas is a method of worshipping the Lord just directly with Vedic mantras only. There are no tantric mantras. But the requirement is you have to be born in those families. So it's very limited. You hardly hear it like that. But it's there.
So without the help of these codes, right, so then that's what regulates our life. As we discussed before, the lifestyle we live, our daily activities and all that, is based on Pancharatra. It's the Pancharatric lifestyle, like that. Or not specifically. So the important elements from the Vedic lifestyle that are directed at the Lord, those are already included in the Pancharatric lifestyle. Right, so everything's already there. The important elements from the Tantra is already there. So it's a complete system. It's a complete lifestyle. So either you're an avatut wandering around, you know, just absorbed in the Lord and not really worried about what's happening around you, like Sukadeva Goswami, or you follow Pancharatra. These are the two options. Right? Follow Mulecha Yavana culture generally is not a recommended option. Yes.
Maharaj, this is what you mean, that the culture is unfolding of the philosophy. It's like the expression.
Yes, it's just a practical application of it. So you can explain the whole philosophy by going through the mantras and rituals of Pancharatra. It's just like if you took a philosophical treatise and converted it into practical deity, into activities connected with the deity. So it's the same thing. So it works. You can explain the philosophy from it. You can explain the activities from it. You can explain the metaphysics from it. It means it has everything. Yes.
So can we say that we can show that Western philosophy is actually pseudo-philosophy in that it's not actually practically applicable?
Let's say you'll get a lot of time on a, you know, sidewalk cafe, drink a lot of tea or coffee.
But that's the practical application.
That's basically it. Adds to global warming.
Yeah. So that's there.
Because of the hot air?
Yeah. That's about it, right?
You know. Yeah. Sales of berets, you know, will go up.
Yeah, sales of berets create some ambiance, you know. Yeah. I mean, because otherwise, if no one's sitting at the tables, it looks bad.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, good. Just checking.
In verses 1, 5, 5 through 7, Vyasadeva asks question 9. In spite of my accomplishments, I am not satisfied, and therefore ask you to find out the deficiency in me. Narad Muni's answer in 1:5, 9 through 40 is summarized below. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam directly presents the pastimes and glories of the Lord, hearing the Bhagavatam from a pure devotee is the best method of removing our impurities and again reviving our devotional service to the Lord. Right? Because removing impurities is not enough. And how are you going to revive your devotional service if the impurities aren't removed? So the point is, devotional service will do both, not that you have to separately endeavor to get rid of the impurities. Although we may be attracted to other literatures due to our impure conditioned desires, attentively studying the Bhagavatam will remove those desires. The Bhagavatam is therefore the most superior literature, superior to even the Vedic literatures which promote gradual purification and thereby confuse readers about life's ultimate goal. Here, gradual, because we can say, well, we say gradual also. We're talking about gradual in this lifetime. They're talking about gradual over, you know, many lifetimes, hundreds, thousands.
So they are the indirect process?
Yeah, sort of the slow path.
Slow path, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite slow. You know, I mean, in comparison to eternity, it's not a long time, but still, it's slow. Any gain outside of devotional service is doomed. And on the other hand, devotional gains are eternal, because anything done outside of devotional service is done within the material energy, so it'll give a temporary result. So it's always doomed. Right? Advancing through devotional service is so perfect that even if a devotee falls, the Lord personally takes charge of rectifying him. So the Lord will take care, right? Because only devotional service will rectify the person. For the living entity to regain his constitutional position of serving Krishna through devotional service, He must seek the shelter of the Lord's representative, right? So the Lord will take care of everything, his devotional service, but to get that, now you have to take shelter of the Lord's devotees. Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was said before this class, it's a commentary on Vedanta.
Yes.
And I'm not able to understand that, like Vyasadeva already wrote Vedanta Sutras and he felt it's insufficient. So doesn't that mean he already went through these pastimes, or then why Narad Muni brought that?
We want confirmation. You know, it's just like, let's say, you've done something and you feel you need to change it. So you think about it, you go through it, think of all the directions and like that. But then in discussing it with a friend, then it becomes solid. Right? Like that. Okay. For the living entity to regain his constitutional position of serving Krishna through devotional service, he must seek the shelter of the Lord's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. And then, under the spiritual master's direction, the disciple can purify his material attachments by using them to glorify the Lord. One must serve such a spiritual master, and rejecting all desires for material happiness, use his material abilities and opulences in Krishna's service, while cultivating a strong desire to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. Thus, under the direction of pure devotee, we can always remember Krishna and go back to Godhead, rejecting as useless everything that doesn't bring us closer to Krishna. One should uncover his relationship with Krishna through offenselessly chanting transcendental sound vibrations, like the Bhagavatam. Because all classes of men can become purified through the potency of transcendental sound vibrations, these vibrations should be widely broadcast. Like, as he mentioned before, is that the learned persons will appreciate Bhagavatam, the general person will appreciate Bhagavatam. Right? So everybody, it's the best medium. Srila Prabhupada's final words in this chapter emphasize the universal character of the Bhagavatam's message. Sri Naradaji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to all eight classes of men, both good and bad. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. So here's eight classes of men. And it says good and bad. So what would that be indicating?
What types of surrender and forgiveness?
Yes, like that. Because otherwise, if you just said all eight classes of men, then you would generally think varna and ashram. But he said good and bad. So you have that, because generally when the Vedas are discussing, they're only talking about those within varna. So you have all that, but then in those eight mentalities. So it's purifying. So that means everybody gets purified. There's nobody left out.
Right?
Yes.
So why mention the four classes of people who are not accepting the devotional service?
Because even they hear it, they'll get benefited. You know, because generally in Kali Yuga, it's... Who is hearing transcendental sound vibrations? It says, describe the glories of the Lord. Right? So, describing them or hearing them, then they get benefit. It may take a while for them to become pious enough, but the point is it answers their questions. The muda is just trying to work to become satisfied in life, but it's not working. But he knows nothing else, so that's all he does. Right? You know, it's just like it said, the donkey, you know, for a little bit of grass at the end of the day is working so hard, but that grass is available everywhere. Right? The donkey could just walk out and just eat how much he wants, but he doesn't. Right? He's a donkey. Right? Does that make sense? You know, your Naradama, he's going along nicely, but he has good facility, but there's still a lack of satisfaction. He'll be benefited. Right? Your Asura, then they're just, you know, that controlling element, but as I mentioned, devotional service, that remains. So they don't have to give up their position of control. It's just connected to the Lord. Right? And the
the so-called intellectuals, the point what they're looking for in knowledge is actually found in the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. Because there is no satisfaction. Because the intellectual speculation is like sense gratification. It's just, it's done within the mind rather than through the senses. You know, you get information from the mind, but then you play with it. But the point is as long as the sense is contacting the sense object, there is some kind of gratification. As soon as there's a disconnection, there's a dissatisfaction. So in the same way, the mental speculation, it gives some pleasure as long as you are speculating. The moment you stop, it's not giving it anymore. So there's no satisfaction. The hearing conclusion, then there's satisfaction. You understand? So it will benefit everybody.
It's basically up to the preacher preaching to make these four classes understand them, what they're
yes.
looking for.
Yes, but it also should be progressive. If you're dealing with any of them, whatever point it runs out that they can't handle anymore, that's when you stop. You know, and then that's why then it's time for prasad. Right? So that's why prasad's always there. Because in their mind, it's stopped, but you know, and we understand the process is still going. Right? You know, kirtan's going on in the background, they're taking prasad, but no more philosophy.
Although we do converse during prasad.
But that can be pleasant. You can just talk about, you know, anything.
Slip a little philosophy.
You can, you know, but it doesn't. It shouldn't. It should be always be pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. A little different than our Sunday.
GBC.
Yes.
So here everybody is invited, and then Jiva Goswami says, "If you're not a devotee, step away from the book."
Yes. Yes, but that's the whole point. Is that. Is there has to be some, in other words, how are you going to study it without faith? But where do you get that faith? From the association of devotees. Right? So, they're just a non-devotee, pick up Bhagavatam on their own, to study it on its own, then what's going to be the benefit? Right? But when you have either the devotees there, you have the Bhaktivedanta purports, then you have that association. So then that will qualify you to actually study it. But if we just hand them direct Bhagavatam, then, you know, better they don't just speculate. So, okay. Okay, so then next page, this one's questions. It was actually, the original plan was, the printing was on the back of the... Oh, no, I see, okay, doesn't matter. Okay, so here are the questions, review questions and the essay questions. Okay? So the viewers, so that you understand what is the content that is there. Right? The essay questions is that you understand what that actually means. The importance of the content. Right? Okay. Practical application, your realization, your understanding. The other is just that you know all the various points that are being made, the logical points, the facts, the figures, the definitions, all those kind of elements like that. Because otherwise, then, what it doesn't know them both, how do you express the one through the other? You know, it's just like you do the cooking through the pots. Right? So if you don't know the cooking, you know, then how you use the, you know, how you use the pots. But if you don't also understand how pots work, then how will you cook? You know, so the two go together.
Okay, chapter 6. Conversation between Narada and Vyasa, Pratigya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.18. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as it is usual when one loses that which is desirable. From the purport. As spiritual beings, having eternal relations with that transcendental form of the Lord, we are, life after life, searching after that form of the Lord, but we are not satisfied by any other form of material appeasement. Narad Muni got a glimpse of this, But having not seen it again, he became perturbed and stood up all of a sudden to search it out. What we desire life after life was obtained by Narad Muni, and losing sight of him again was certainly a great shock for him. Right, so, means this element of attaining the Lord is the principle that everyone's looking for. Now, if there is a experience, where is that experience coming from? Means, if an activity is going to be performed, let's say, like I say, you know, you should cook. So what do you look for?
Pots.
So a form.
Okay. Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You want to do the activity, say, driving. What do you look for?
A car.
Right? So the whole idea is that whatever it is we're looking for, there's an activity, but there's a form. Right? So every living entity, in their desire for attaining a particular quality, right, then there's the forms that go with it. But the problem is though the quality is eternal, the activities and the forms in this material world that we work with are temporary. So we're always looking for that eternal form, that eternal activity. So everyone's looking for the Lord. There's nothing else that they're looking for. The difficulty is they don't understand that's what they're looking for. You understand? That's what Prabhupada said before. So-called material nature. Right?
So neophyte devotee is lucky because he knows the source of his despondency?
He knows the source of his despondency, yeah. Not that he's solved. The point is you can only solve a problem when you know. Right? When the person knows that I have a cold, and the cold is from standing outside, then he can do something about it. Chapter 6 summarizes questions and answers. Question 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam is asked by Vyasa of Narada, and it is about Narada's advancement in Krishna consciousness. The question has three parts. Question 10, part 1. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.2. What did you do after the departure of the sages who, in your prior birth, instructed you? Answer 1.6.5-15. Question 10, part 2, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.3. How did you pass your life after initiation, and how did you attain your present body? Answer 1.6.16-25. Question 10, part 3, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.4. How are you able to remember your prior birth, which was in a previous day of Brahma? Answer, 26-38. Adhyaya Prakashita. In the sixth chapter, Narada describes how he went to the forest to seek the Lord, and hearing his words, later received a spiritual body. Vyasa inquires from Narada about how he passed his life after the departure of the sages. Narada describes that after his mother was bitten by a poisonous snake and died, he began traveling. Once, as he sat beneath a banyan tree, he began meditating on the Lord in the heart. As Narad Muni meditated, the Supersoul first appeared to him and then departed. Narad Muni was grief-stricken. The Lord then spoke to Narada, and his words dispelled Narada's unhappiness. There are four points the Lord made that are most relevant to the philosophical significance of questions 8 and 9. Footnote 59. Question 8 is asked by Narad Muni to Vyas. After compiling the Mahabharata full of all kinds of Vedic knowledge and presenting the philosophy of impersonal Brahman, are you satisfied by identifying the body and mind as objects of self-realization? Question 9 is asked by Vyasadeva to Narad Muni. In spite of these accomplishments you mentioned, I am not satisfied, and therefore ask you to find out the deficiency in me. So there are four points, right? Mm-hmm. One, unqualified persons cannot have the Lord's darshan. Two, still the Lord granted darshan to Narada in order to increase his desire for him. Three, by devotional service, even for for a few days. Young Narada, at that time he was still in the body of the son of a Shudra, will get Drida Mati, firm intelligence. And four, and this intelligence is eternal. After recounting his meeting with the Supersoul, Narada tells Vyas how he spent the remainder of his life. He also describes his next birth as the great sage Narad Muni. Narada then finishes instructions to Vyas and departs. Sutta further describes the glories of Narada, Shloka Nisharanam. Verses 1 to 19, Narada Muni attains the Lord's darshan. Verses 20 to 28, the Lord's instructions to Narada. And verses 29 to 38, Narada Muni attains full perfection. Verses 1 to 19, Narada Muni attains the Lord's darshan. In this section of verses, Narada describes how after his mother was bitten by a poisonous snake and died, he began traveling. Once as he sat beneath a banyan tree, he began meditating on the Lord in the heart. As Narada Muni meditated, the Supersoul first appeared to him and then departed. Narada Muni was grief-stricken. Vyasadeva was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naraji because he wanted to follow in his footsteps and attain perfection himself. This desire to inquire from the spiritual master is essential for the advancement of the disciple and is technically known as Sadharma Richa. Vyasadeva asked, "What did you do after the departure of these great sages? How did you pass your life after being initiated by them? And how did you obtain this present body after having quit your old one in due course of time? Time annihilates everything. How is it that you can remember these events that happened during the previous day of Brahma?" So verses 1 to 4. In his purports to 164, Srila Prabhupada emphasized that inquiring from great devotees helps one advance in Krishna consciousness. This advancement is never annihilated, as spirit is never annihilated, even at the death of the body. Narada Muni replied, "I was just 5 years old and lived with my mother in a Brahmana school. As her only son, my mother tried to bind me with a rope of affection. She wanted to properly look after my maintenance, but because she was not independent, she could not really do anything for me." Right, so that means, okay. Then his mother was, because this answers the question we had the other day, about you know, if it was her own house where she was. She was a maidservant in, you know, a Brahmana school. Right? So in a Gurukul. So a Brahmin had a Gurukul. So she was a maidservant, you know, of that Brahmana, you know, in the school. So therefore it would be very natural for the four Paramahamsas to come and stay, you know, at the Gurukul ashram for the Chakramasya. Right, so she couldn't do much, you know, just whatever's there. They have some place to stay, something to eat. But, you know, anything more than that that the mother would like to do, she couldn't do because, you know, you don't have the facility. One day while going out in the evening to milk a cow, my poor mother was bitten on the leg by a serpent, and as a result, she died. I took this as the Lord's special mercy, for I knew that he always desired the welfare of his devotees. Verses 5 to 10. Commenting on the sudden death of Narada's mother and Narada's reaction on it, Srila Prabhupada writes, "That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it because they think, oh, you know, but why does he see like this? You know, what about his mother? But the point is even you lament, you can't do anything for the mother. You just can't. Right, she's already moved on. Right, because everybody has their time that they're here; they move on. So, by lamenting, you do nothing. You have to do something with your life. So, in other words, if there's a benefit, in other words, he was, you know, he had a good environment that his mother provided. He heard the instructions
of these great sages, now putting that together, do something with it. You know, that's the... Narad Muni continues, so the materialist, he'll always think, you know, what's going wrong? Why isn't God taking care of making everything wonderful? But then that means the devotional service, you have to be careful, it's not about business. It's about devotion. So, in other words, if by having the facility it would be better for your devotion, there's a good chance you'd have it. So if it's not coming, then there's a good chance that there's a reason for that. You know what I'm saying? Like the kid. The kid is sick. They would love to eat all kinds of things, but the mother's giving him things that they're not that interested in.
Yes.
Right? So the point is if they were healthy, the mother, of course, would give them something else. But you give according to what's going to work.
Yes.
Why didn't he stay at the school?
Was
it conducive?
Probably
the school.
It's
not a bad place.
It appears not. Because the point is what would he do? No, but he's a Shudra. You know what I'm saying? Means technically, depending upon who it is, then he would be able to study. But the point is at that point, then what would be his means for staying there? Would he be studying, or would he be doing all the work his mother was doing? You understand?
But because he got the instructions from the Bhaktivedanta,
yes,
and assimilated it so well, maybe he wasn't sure of that.
Yes, now that's there. But the point is then he'd have to stay and work, so now he can just go and apply. You know, because it also depends upon your position of advancement. Right? Because you remember, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was taking us through those 4 months, basically he was moving at, you know, a good pace. Moving through. So, you know, by this time he would most likely be quite advanced. But it is, it could have, but it didn't. So that's. Yeah.
It could have, yes. It seems that he developed the sannyas mentality very quickly.
Yes, that's the element. So, in other words, if it had been conducive to stay there, I'm sure he would have. So it would have been, you know, for his understanding, more conducive to travel.
It seems that he was independent. He was able to.
He was, yeah, independent. But also, you could all. It means that would be one thing. Another thing you can look at it is in that element of the independence is his position. Means the students in the Gurukul, that is their school. That's their brahmacharya. But his position in that Gurukul, that was his grihastha scene. Because that was his family scene.
Yes.
For the brahmacharis, that's not their family scene.
Yes.
So then for him, that's naturally just moves, renounces that and moves on.
Yes.
You know? So then he could join another Gurukul. But, you know, in other words, you go to the Gurukul, that's not your family Gurukul. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Girls go to the Gurukul, that's their family Gurukul. Does that make sense? That's how it works. But boys generally go to someone else. It's like Rabia Muni and I think Bharadvaj. Right? They're two great sages, renowned. But their sons didn't go to their own Gurukul, they went to each other's. So Bharadvaj's son went to Rabia's Gurukul, and Rabia's son went to Bharadvaj's Gurukul. You know? Or Brihaspati, right? His son went to Shukracharya's Gurukul. You know, so it's just you know, the son, you never train yourself like that in your own Gurukul. But for the girl, then it's already happening in the house. Why you'd go somewhere else? It's not practical. You know, so like that. Yes.
It also seems that in earlier ages there was an understanding that if you really wanted to achieve self-realization, you have to go in a secluded place and do meditation. So he was following that goal.
Yes, yes, that would be a nice point. Yes. Yes.
Could also be just following the example of his spiritual masters who constantly.
That's true. That's true. Also. Yeah. Yeah. So all these different. Happy. Narad Muni continues.
Even though I had no experience of foreign lands, I immediately left home and started for the north. After passing through numerous cities, towns, and villages, farms, forests, mountains, and valleys, I entered a densely dark and fearful jungle that was the playground of snakes, owls, and jackals. Footnote 60. In his commentary to 1613, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains why Narad Muni was not afraid to go through such places. Ghoram means repulsive because of its fearsome form. It was the playground of snakes, owls, and jackals. I did not have surprise or fear in seeing those surprising and fearsome things because my mind was absorbed in tasting the sweetness of the Lord at that time. Right, so therefore, Srila Prabhupada elaborates, it is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear, and the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephant, and many other jungle animals. So this element of that fearless is very important. I think it was Garga Muni, as a brahmachari, was preaching in Bangladesh, and I think, I'm not sure if it something, if it, how it would have worked out, but somehow or another, then, because you had the Bangladesh war and the whole thing there, then they were, he was captured, and I guess they thought he was a spy or something like that, you know, he's just there preaching, but, you know, like that, so then they somehow or another decided, you know, as a spy, then he was to be shot, like that. And so, but he wasn't worried about it, you know, because, okay, you know, here we preach, or we, you know, we chant, and or we go back to Godhead. But somehow or another, something worked out, either because he wasn't worried. I don't know why, but I can't remember all the stuff. And they let him go. So when he came back, and the other devotees told Prabhupada about it. So when Prabhupada heard that he was fearless, on that, he says, oh, then he should take sannyas. So, you know, that's an element. Yeah.
Tough crowd to preach to. Tough crowd to preach to.
Yes, tough crowd. Okay, so, end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki, Sabha Vita Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Prima.